Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this ought to be good, or it ought to be a disaster. One of the two.
Hey, how you doing? Great program.
I really liked it.
Well, actually, I was just wanting to...
You be the host.
Hello.
Hello, this is Wretched Radio. Did that get intense for anybody else? Stop all the ringing and the dinging. I've got misophonia. Prepare now for your new host, Jimmy.
Yeah, okay.
Who right before the program began said, I've articulated 10 things. 10, what are you calling them? 10 dealy bobs.
Points, yes.
10 points about the Charlie Kirk assassination and the memorial service, which, Jimmy, what was your take on? If you had to give the memorial service a grade from a Christian standpoint, what would you give it?
I would give it an A.
Well, not even an A minus.
Maybe an A.
But worth rejoicing in.
Absolutely. Christ was exalted for over 4 hours.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Jimmy. Okay. Just before you get to being the host of the program and taking over the show.
You're fired. Oh, no. Not ready yet.
Just lay down on my couch for a moment.
Okay.
And I want to get into your heart.
Okay.
Did you start to watch the Kirk Memorial and kind of with more of a critical attitude than just I'm kind of looking at this like a football game? Did you have your Berean guard up?
Oh, for sure.
See, I did too. And it took me a little bit to put my guard down and actually start going, this is quite astounding. This is not something that we've seen, I don't think, ever before in a 4-hour church service, basically, with some politics sprinkled in there. But Jesus was extolled, and not a little, but in detail.
Yeah.
So I was, but even when it was done, I was like, okay, I don't want to look like I've become an ecumenist, because I think we said this yesterday, and we're putting it into a YouTube video. I do think that there are some things that we need to be mindful of. It was ecumenical. It was sharing a platform with people of different religious perspectives on Christianity, Roman Catholic, Protestant, Evangelical, etc. I think you had the political stuff in there. So but it was like, I think that we should have been kind of happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't think Jesus was sanitized at
no,
all.
No, and or caricatured or misdefined or represented in any way. I agree with you. Now, here's a question, though, that, boy, why didn't I think of this before? Should we not, if we are seeing, Jimmy, you called it the Charlie effect?
Yeah, well, that I'm not calling it that. That's what the, you know, it's sweeping across.
There's an effect of Charlie. Okay, so we can watch that effect or we could participate in it. Mm-hmm. What might you be able to do to contribute to the Charlie effect? And I got one thing off the top of my noggin. If you've always struggled to find the segue in, here's your segue to the gospel. Hey, did you watch the Charlie Kirk Memorial? What did you think about it? What did you think about all that talk about Jesus Christ? Boom, you're there and you could be doing something. Now, we're going to be going to the campus. Actually, we're going to be on the campus tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be with Greg Giffer tonight at UNG, 6:30, HOAG, H-O-A-G, auditorium, with students talking about this stuff. And of course, we're going to be preaching the gospel. Of course, we're, because that's ultimately what we want for everybody. But that's what we're going to be doing. So I would ask, what might you be able to do to, let's just say, take advantage of what they're calling the Charlie effect? Now, to that end, Jimmy, you told me that you have created 10 points, 10 what? Observations, comments.
Because of this Charlie effect that is obviously sweeping social media, you know, there it's, so the effect is that we're going through a spiritual awakening right now because of this, you know, a revival in America. And I'm not discounting and saying that God's not doing something. I think he definitely is. He's always doing something. So I don't discount that at all. But my point and what I've been thinking is revival is just the spark. But reformation is what we need to be looking forward to. We can't just stop at revival. We've got to look at what happens, not just now, but next week, next month, next year.
Well, that's kind of similar to what I was just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to just, oh, here's what's on the screen. Here's my social media. That's it. Well, think in advance a little bit. I think it's always a helpful thing to do. And if we're seeing something of a national trend, and I think we are, I don't think that Charlie sparked it as much as it was kind of the kerosene to the spark that was already just, it was playing around with becoming a flame. And I think the Charlie Kirk assassination just lit that match and the fuse and the explosion. But it was gurgling with people like Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson, an interest in the West about Christian things, right, wrong, or indifferent. So I saw that. And I should have been asking, okay, what next? Okay, so if this is happening, what could we be doing? You know who's good at that, Jimmy? Ray Comfort.
Yeah.
Ray Comfort. I'm actually amazed, and maybe it did happen. Ray will see something like that and go, wait, what? There's going to be 100,000 people. Mark Spence, we're going to need 100,000 gospel tracks in Arizona. That's just the way that I think that's a good thing, a good habit to develop. And you're saying, all right, we're potentially seeing revival. You're saying don't stop there. It right. needs to lead to reformation.
That's exactly right. I mean, what happens when the shock wears off and all the emotions settle?
And it's going to be soon.
Yeah.
Because it's been 2 weeks, which is a considerable amount of time. Actually, it's longer than most of these events, which I think points again, this was a moment. This was a cultural moment. All right. So with that, you say, good for revival, mm-hmm. be thinking reformation.
That's right.
That's only 2 points.
No, that's...
Is that 1 point?
That's no points. That's the whole scope
you
of
mean
what...
we haven't even tackled a single point?
Not yet.
Oh, okay, great. So why don't you share one?
Yeah, here's the first point. I think we need to be looking at scripture over experience. Because that's what's happening. When you're emotions get high in things like this, and we've got to be looking at what is sustainable. And the experience is not sustainable because you're only going to stay as long as
the... Now I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not just rest on this cultural moment.
Right.
Of, we'll call it revival, if that's the right word, or something is going on. But don't keep pointing to Charlie. We need to point to scripture.
Right.
That's what your point is?
Yes.
Bible, be people of the book. Bible, Bible, Bible.
Right. Sola scriptura over sentiment.
Well, that I think is in alignment with what Peter warned about. Look out for the miracle. We got something better than miracles. We have the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so let's utilize what maybe is going on in people's hearts and minds, but point them to the Bible, because that's going to be the sustaining work right. of the Reformation. Did you AI these? That's pretty good stuff, Jimmy.
No, I didn't AI them.
All right, give me another one.
So the gospel clarity, we've got to be sharing the whole gospel over the cultural message.
Amen to that.
I mean, right now during this time, it's like the gospel can get reduced to the moral agenda or the political program. That's what we've been hearing, but it's got to be the entire gospel.
Have you been hearing to that? It's like a podcast radio show reeked. Rickety, wretched. It was called Wretched.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Got to preach the whole gospel. That's why I was a little bit torn about the Charlie Kirk thing. Hmm. It's because I'm like, I'm strident about it with myself, for starters, because I can even write out a gospel presentation for whatever purpose and realize, wait a second, I'm assuming something. I forgot to mention this. So I'm tough on myself in that regard. So when I'm watching people give the gospel, it's like, oh, well, I want to make sure that there's enough there somebody could actually get saved. And Jimmy, I would have to say that for the most part, there was actually enough there for people to be convicted mm-hmm. and for the Holy Spirit to do a lot of converting.
No, I definitely think so.
I mean, it wasn't, I mean, I was expecting all kinds of, you know, Charlie had a God-shaped hole in his heart. And when he was in fifth grade, he asked Jesus to come in. Stop knocking, I'll open the door for you. And in he went. Would you like to have your door open? Would you like to have company? Would you like to have that hole filled? That's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Got none of it.
None of it.
All right, give me one more point.
We've got to look at church membership over at just
Amen.
Revival attendance.
All pushing that. I think there were a number of times at the memorial, people were saying, hey, you get yourself into a Bible teaching church. I think Erica said that, but if not, I think it was spoken.
Yeah.
Oh, she did that, I think, at her initial response, which, whew, there's a woman that apparently can carry a lot because that would be rough. And she said, get yourself into, and it wasn't just find a church. It was a Bible teaching church.
Correct.
And I think that's, Jimmy, that's really good. That's where the Reformation is going to take place, in the context of the local church. Well, if you'd like to continue to be amazed by our new host, Jimmy, next on Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether you're marriage needs healing, or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100, was a student of the Apostle Peter, and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality, emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We need reformation. not just revival. See what I did here? You're talking about, yeah. This is Wretched Radio, kind of Southern Baptist-y of you. Oh, you okay. Got yourself some alliteration going on. There's got to be something else in your list of 10 observations from the Charlie Kirk, the assassination and the memorial to keep this, the Charlie effect, if you will, going. So we need reformation, not revival. Right. You got to come up with another R, dude.
Oh, well, I
can you work repentance in?
It's probably
somehow. rebate? Refund. Reject. You need something. Because, yeah. You know, if it doesn't have the 3-R thing, then it ain't, well, it ain't Southern Baptist. All right, Jimmy, you say that we're thankful for the cultural conversation that is happening around Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I affirm that. And let me, if you will, press just a wee bit more on all of us. I know evangelism is a challenge. I know that. Some of us are more suited to it than others, but I don't know anyone, including Ray Comfort, including the Apostle Paul, who does not go out to witness to people with fear, much trembling, and lacking eloquency of speech. It is hard, but this might be about the easiest time. People are talking about it. Grab it. Run with it. And see where the Lord takes the conversation, because this could be the perfect time for you to start engaging in evangelism. So, Jimmy, you had, how many points have you given us? 7 or 8 now?
What, 3?
Oh, 3. Okay, so, wow, we have 7 more.
We do.
Exciting. All right, carry on.
So the next thing was we need to focus on the ordinary means of grace over the extraordinary events that happen.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yep. That's getting close to that. No, I think I'd file it underneath emotional manipulation at a lot of these so-called revivals that we're seeing happening on campuses. They're very music driven, very emotive, testimony driven. And I love all of those elements, but it's got to be preaching driven so that it's not just a manipulation to get somebody to emote their way into the kingdom and discover, oh, I don't have any fruit in keeping with repentance and I'm a rotten fish.
Right.
Which, by the way, that's one of the booklets we're bringing to the campuses.
Ah.
You were going to bring, Are You a Rotten Fish? And that one will be especially important when we go to Oklahoma in October, because so many kids are detransitioning. And my point is going to be, actually, you probably never transitioned in the first place. And one of the reasons is the lack of clarity in the gospel. We just have to do better. And Jimmy, that was one of your other points. But now you're saying, look out for, you called it not emotional. Was it like signs and wonders sort of stuff? Stay away from that and just stick with preaching.
Yeah, exactly. The ordinary means of grace. It don't rely on just extraordinary events.
And they're more powerful and they're more lasting.
That's the point here is.
You know, want to know, okay, just observationally, something that I saw a Charlie Kirk video here and there, but the people that were speaking at the memorial about his desire to see young men become men and fathers and husbands, not in that order, because it's so good for you. It's so good for you. These ordinary, and by the way, countercultural things, isn't it amazing you have a culture? I think J.D. Vance talked about this, that hates marriage. What? That isn't fond of children? Are we bonkers? And well, the answer, I don't like the term bonkers or insane or any other of those descriptors. I think the biblical language is darkened mind. They have a darkened mind. And their worldview is dark and it's nihilistic and it's bleak and it's not hopeful. And it is contrary even to natural law, not just the Bible, to natural law. Come on. Duh. Even the animals get together and make babies. Well, it's just what we're supposed to be doing, and it makes you happier. And if you will, that's kind of an ordinary thing, but it's a more lasting thing. It's a more profound thing. And I actually liked the way that it was spoken about. Okay, so focus on ordinary means. So are you talking about things like Bible, preaching, teaching, prayer? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. But I think a part of it, Jimmy, I think, and I don't know anybody who has captured this with a phrase or description that I think would help bring clarity to the necessity of the local church and why the local, you get into a local church, man. Hey, whatever your perception of it is, whatever your experience has been, put it behind you and become a member of a local church. It will change the trajectory of your life. It is a touchstone. It refocuses you. It sets your rudder straight. It just aligns you with real reality, which is, of course, God and His truth. It's good for you. It's good for you. Jimmy, can I take over as host for just a moment?
Absolutely.
In talking about the local church and the trend that we saw of the number of people who would leave a church because the pastor either didn't talk about Charlie Kirk or they did talk about him. It was both. Now, this is speculation on my part, but I'll share it so that you, pastor, can consider it. Is it possible that evangelicalism has shot every pastor in the foot by persuading them that they've got to be accessible, that they've got to be relatable, that they've got to be a slob like one of us, as opposed to that's an office. And that is one that should be esteemed. And with our wild attempt to be culturally relevant, I think we've lowered the office, which gives permission to people to speak out against all churches that they define as being all pastors who did or didn't speak on the subject. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're talking about a pastor here. And I think that mindset exists. I think we've all been infected by that, because I think when there's a lower view of the office of the elder, there's a much easier ability for all of us to critique the guy and maybe to talk smack about the guy, or just to leave the church because, And I think if we elevated the office of elder to where it belongs, not as there's some sort of dictator in the local church, but that is the under shepherd of Jesus Christ. That is the one who has been charged to take care of my soul. I'm going to honor that guy. I'm going to respect that guy. And I wonder if it would cut down on some of the easy criticism that all of us can offer. And it might eliminate some of the church shopping and hopping that so many people, they're just caught in an endless loop. Just wondering. All right, Jimmy, what other points you got to keep the Reformation going?
So this goes probably hand in hand with the ordinary means of grace, and you talked about it a little bit, but I think worship that's weighty.
Yeah, and no argument.
Not emotional manipulation.
No argument for me.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this about the memorial. I think I maybe heard a contemporary song in between. Now, I know they did, like Chris Tomlin. Didn't Jesus Messiah, name above all names? Okay, lyrically, perfectly fine. But in a Christ exalting, if not a little repetitive, but it was Christ exalting. But most of the stuff in between, they were hymns. They were like the old school hymns. I thought that was an interesting choice to show that music, we shouldn't be throwing away the Christian churches, some of our finest musical treasures, play them. And if you're going to do contemporary, that's cool. Just make sure it's weighty and it's worthy of our transcendent yet imminent God. All right. What else you got?
Discipleship. The discipleship, this is how I termed it. Discipleship that reaches the kitchen table.
Because, dude, you're talking about the basics here.
Exactly, but that's Reformation. That's what makes this lasting and not just a flash in the pan moment. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm with you, Daddy-O. But I'm just saying those are the things that we should have been doing all along.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And that would be I think a clarion call to the church and for every pastor to just take a look and go, how am I doing on the basics? This is like an athletic team. Look, what do you got? What is it, Jimmy? Like blocking, tackling, whatever the other one is, or something.
Scoring.
Scoring.
That's right.
All right. Are those things there? Yeah. You got to have the fundamentals in place. All right. You got any left?
Church discipline. Properly administered.
Of course. Yeah. As a loving act. What else?
Vocation. Pastors preach, but plumbers also fix pipes to the glory of God.
You know what? I got number 11 for you, okay, if you don't have it already.
Right.
The priesthood of all believers.
Oh, that, yeah, that's good
or
too.
Or you could tuck it underneath vocation if you wanted to, but we are all kingdom priests.
Yeah.
All of us. And one of the ways, by the way, we preached on this Sunday, the Alpharetta Bible Church, is because the veil was torn from top to bottom and you now have direct access 24/7 to God himself. And you get to be a priest. You get to be an intercessor. You get to be one who brings petitions to God directly, not just one day a year, but every single second of every day. You done?
Pretty much.
All right. If I do the math on this, did we hit 10?
No, we didn't, but I'm pretty.
Well, then.
I'm still fleshing them out.
Getting those texts and emails.
Okay.
Because somebody's got an abacus out there. The bottom line, let's return to the fundamentals. Why? Well, because they're fundamental and they're biblical. That's what sustains kingdom growth. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The White House is moving hard on autism. President Trump, HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and top health leaders have announced a new plan to find causes and speed treatment. Effective immediately, the FDA will notify doctors that using acetaminophen, Tylenol, during pregnancy can be associated with a higher risk of autism, and it's strongly recommending pregnant women limit its use. The FDA is also starting a label safety change. Kennedy says NIH, FDA, CDC, and CMS have been told to work as one team so they can look at environmental and medical factors, not just genetics. Now on to news about Jimmy Kimmel, who is returning to the airwaves tonight, according to Disney. The company paused the show last week to avoid inflaming an intense situation, according to officials at Disney. Kimmel had made some comments about Charlie Kirk's assassination, and in a very sensitive time in this country, Disney made the decision to pull him off the air. Hollywood called the pause censorship, and then petitions were launched. And though Kimmel is making his return tonight, one big affiliate isn't coming back. Sinclair Broadcast Group, who owns and controls 40 ABC stations, including one in Washington, D.C., is going to continue preempting Kimmel and will air news instead. They say talks with ABC continue, but for now, Kimmel will not be on those stations. And there's news from Google, who recently told the FTC that it will stop using a third-party abuse list that helped flag some Republican fundraising emails as dangerous. The list came from a company called Serval. Google says it can protect users with its own tools and has dropped Serval as a signal. The FTC chairman warned that slanted filtering could break the law, and Google's position, they heard the complaint and made a change. Moving north of the border now, the price tag for federal DEI programs is now over $1 billion since 2016. $1.049 billion to be exact, across 29 departments. Examples, $25 million sent to the Canadian Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, and agricultural dollars for harvesting, processing, and storing cultural vegetables. And still in Canada, the same parliament, just a different issue. Canadian Liberals say they've spent $3.645 million so far to defend their 2022 use of the Emergencies Act against the Freedom Convoy. Taxpayers are funding multiple cases as the government appeals a 2024 ruling that said invoking the act was not justified. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. For more, you can download Fortis Plus, or you can also become a Fortis Insider at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in scripture is poetry. Poetry relies on imaginative and figurative language to expand on a theme, examine emotions, and reflect on who God is and what he has done. God's timeless truth is written down by biographers and artists alike. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please note, this is not the same stinger.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle. the truth. Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Which one is worse, sir? Representing the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program, our very own host and now judge. You got to change your hat.
Man, I got a
Jimmy
lot.
Hicks, are you ready, Mr. Handsome Hicks?
I got too many responsibilities.
This you didn't expect this much work today, did you?
I did not.
Okay, can I do something?
Sure.
And then we're not going to like get matching pinky rings. we're not going to become blood brothers or
okay.
Nothing.
Okay.
But can I just speak well of you for a moment?
Oh, absolutely. I like that.
I got nothing. The amount of work that you put into this ministry is a lot. And you crank out. And when it's, I don't know if I told you this. I think Jason maybe did. Jason heads up the Fortis Fellows program, but we had our meeting with all of the fellows last week, I think. And at the very end, Jason did something that I just like, yeah, my schedule. He asked all of the fellows, is there anything we can be doing better here at Fortis Institute? Yeah. And you know where everybody's attention turned?
Where?
To Jimmy Hicks.
Really?
Because it's being done so well. Rather than complaining about something or criticizing something, they were like, no, we got to tell you about Jimmy, man. He's amazing. He's always on it. We send an email and it just gets done. And he makes it sound so good. Brad Bigney was like listening to his own podcast, which is a painful thing to do. Nevertheless, it is. It's painful. It's beneficial, but ooh. And he was saying, do I talk that fast?
Yes, you do.
And he does. But then he also remembered that was the segment where he was like 40 seconds over. And I think you just sped up his voice. Maybe. He said, I don't talk that fast. Did you speed him up?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Remember anything. Well, you crank out so much stuff. How could you?
But do you realize that this week they are celebrating their year anniversary?
Oh, is that all of the podcast?
All, yeah.
Y'all, this is so exciting. These podcasts are taking off like nobody's business. I'm telling you. We're just, I think, did I see the number? Oh, I don't know if it was 30. I think it might have been a 30-day period. Greg Gifford. Okay, now. This is sort of like a King David sin where you're counting heads and then, you know, to feel good about it. I just think it's encouraging. He added like 3,300 subscribers. Wow. These podcasts are so good for you. Please avail yourself of them. You can find them on Spotify. You should be able to find, you can go to Fortis Plus and you can see them all listed there. All of these guys and gal are absolutely excellent, and they are all driving toward the same goal that you and I would love Jesus Christ more today than yesterday. That's kind of catchy. That could be a hit from the 60s. Please avail yourself of these podcasts. You will be blessed. You will grow because that's what they're dedicating so much time and energy to, and they are produced exceedingly well, courtesy of Jimmy. Okay, I'm done. I can't do no more.
You be the judge.
You want answers?
I'm exhausted from that encouragement.
Well, thank you. You can't handle the truth. Order in the court.
Are you ready, sir?
I am.
Let me get my pen here with the big red marker, otherwise I'll lose track of the numbers. Here we go. Which one is worsest? Okay. You know, on the bright side with this story, it looks like the real estate market perhaps is rebounding. Oh. I'm a cup half full kind of guy. Here's the first story. Bishop Eddie Macedo, M-A-C-E-D-O. He's from the Universal Church of the Kingdom of God. He sold his condo in the Porsche Design Tower for $13 million.
Oh, man. Somebody got a deal.
Somebody got a deal. Yeah, I'll tell you who got a deal. A raw deal. All of the people who give to the guy. This is the preying of poor people. Oh. All right, that's story number one. Ready for story number two?
I am.
Story number two, in Canada. How's about that euthanasia? Medical assistance in dying passed just 10 years ago. Now accounts for about 1 in 20 deaths in Canada. And just as everybody expected, again, thinking in the future, where's the slippery slope on this one? people feeling pressure to die. How many times have we heard this before euthanasia even became a thing, where our seniors would say, "I don't want to be a burden to my family." No, I don't have to live with you. I don't want to be a burden. Okay, well, that same sentiment is now being revealed as Canada is encouraging people to take control of their own lives and to die on their own terms. And a number of people are feeling the pressure to do it because they don't want to be a burden. What a low view of life we have. That number is more than the total number of combined deaths from Alzheimer's and diabetes. The demand for euthanasia exceeds the supply. Canada's parliament legalized this in 2016, promising increasing autonomy and decreased suffering. Instead, the practice has corrupted medicine, threatened conscience rights, pressured the vulnerable, and expanded the culture of death. Oof. These people. This is again, I think the best biblical phrase is so that you don't have to use words that can be pretty incendiary in our culture. And it's kind of a foreign phrase to people. They have depraved minds. They've got darkened minds. They don't think rightly, these people, and they should. It's not like they don't have, you know, an education, all kinds of violations against the practices that were laid down. Whistleblowers identified over 400 issues with compliance, ranging from patients who were killed that were not capable of consent or they couldn't communicate correctly, and pharmacists providing the deadly prescription. 61% of physicians notify pharmacists about the purpose of the euthanasia medications prior to dispensation. That number should be 100%. Even more troubling, reported cases of providers expediting, euthanizing drugs to patients sooner than the legally required 10-day waiting period. I was just reading another statistic about prescribing medications. It had to do with the kids and the ADHD business. That like the majority of them, like a really, really well over 50% number are diagnosed as having ADHD within 30 days. 30 days. That's it. In order to give a kid a drug that we don't even know what's inside of it, how it works, and what the long-term effects will be. 30 days, that's it. And most of it, quite honestly, is done sooner than that. When your doctor says, "How are you feeling?" Be careful how you answer. That's story number two.
So I just want to say something real quick. I understand maybe the sentiment of an elderly person not wanting to be a burden on their family. I get that. I don't want to be a burden on my kids when I get older. I understand that. But for any family to accept that, the Bible says, if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an unbeliever.
Oh, we got to get there's you want to get back to your list of reformation on top of revival. There it is, honoring father and mother.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll let that on.
That we're a society that esteems the elderly. And that, yeah, there are sacrifices. Yeah, it can be difficult. Yep, they can be agitating. It can be hard to live with somebody if they're getting a little crabby. I get it. But I think as a culture, we've made the decision too long ago to say, look, you got to live for yourself. And we build all kinds of facilities, and I'm glad that they exist because there are times certainly when they're needed. But for Christians, we should be thinking long and hard. And I know that it might lower your standard of living. There are just some things that are better than fine wine. There are some things that we can do that are better than a Viking cruise. Okay, sorry, I paused because I really, really am intrigued by those Viking cruises. If they weren't, you know, like $10,000 to go on them, I'd be really intrigued. But there's better things than even a Viking cruise. And it's doing the things that are noble. It's doing the things that are sacrificial. Well, this culture, don't sacrifice. Everybody needs to give to you. Don't you give to others. This is another reason, I think, and we're going to be talking about this on the campus tonight and tomorrow with Dr. Greg Gifford. We're living for self. Everything is internalized. It's all about me, and that is not the pathway to happiness. The pathway to happiness is other. Why? Because that's the way our God operates. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. And when we follow in his footsteps, guess what? You're going to be happier. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Kreitz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We don't have time. We don't have time. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, story number 3, you be the judge. Which story is worse, sir? This is number 3. Pope Leo meeting with... Why am I winded?
Said that awfully fast.
I did. I didn't know talking was considered exercise.
I could have sped you up, ask Brad.
Pope Leo meets LGBTQ Catholic advocate and vows continuity with Francis's welcoming legacy. Let's see how long that house stands when you try to speak out of one side of your mouth and the other. Well, historically, we believe it's one man, one woman, but we'll do ceremonies, not marriages. We'll do ceremonies. Francis changed the church's teaching, saying, that those actions are intrinsically disordered. So he stuck with the church policy and yet flung the door open at the Vatican. I think they just did an event. I might have that in one of my stories here. They just did an event that was, they said that we just put it on the calendar. Doesn't mean that we endorse it. We're just letting everybody know what's going on at the Vatican. It was an LGBTQ something or another. And people are thrilled with the new direction of Rome. That's story number three, Jimmy.
You ready?
All right, story number four.
Hey, how you doing? Great program.
Who did that?
I was just wondering. I did that.
Hello.
Okay, I'm a knucklehead.
Are you okay in there?
But I'm fine. Got a little intense, didn't it? No, that was the other sound effect.
You be the judge.
But I banged the table?
Ah.
I can't be doing that, apparently.
Yeah, no.
It made the thing jump and do the... Do not panic, passengers. You're perfectly safe. You're in the hands of talk show professionals. Story number four, Archdiocese. That would be Roman Catholic story number two. Agrees to a $230 million settlement. Can you guess why? That's right, clergy sex abuse case. This is the New Orleans Archdiocese having to settle 500 abuse claims. That's systemic. That's one diocese. That's one in New Orleans. 500 reported. That is systemic. And that should raise, I think, a reasonable question. What is it about that organization that seems to provide such a hotbed for this type of sin to flourish? Story number five. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Quebec, the secularism minister. No, what do you mean? Secularism minister.
Is that an oxymoron?
It's like the atheist nun. you can't. The Quebec secularism minister. Why don't they just call him pastor? Let's just go with that. Shepherd, the Quebec secularism bishop, to push bill that bans prayer in public. Oh, that's cool. The premier has given me the mandate to strengthen secularism, and I'm determined to fulfill this mandate diligently. That's a country that isn't drifting. That is a country that is driving, and they're driving right over a cliff. This fall, we will therefore introduce a bill to strengthen secularism in Quebec, in particular by banning street prayers. You don't want those people praying in public now, do you? Seeing people praying in the streets, public parks, is not something we want in Quebec. When we want to pray, we go to church. We go to a mosque, but not public places. And yes, we will look at the means where we can act legally or otherwise. Have you ever been to Quebec, Jimmy?
I've never been to Canada.
It's a more European flavored city. Hmm. It's a big city, so not the whole thing is, but that downtown area, that old area, is really quite glorious. They're just driving away from their Christian heritage, and they're not looking in the rear view mirror. You're going to love this story. It's number seven. You ready for this, Jimmy? This one is slightly dated. I don't know if you noticed that tall Charlie Kirk thing. Kind of took us away from our regularly scheduled programming. Afghan women die in rubble after an earthquake because the male rescuers refused to touch them.
What?
From the Telegraph in the UK. This is a 6.6 magnitude earthquake. But because the Taliban, they forbid unrelated men from having contact with unrelated women, the women were left in the rubble. Or they had to run away, take water with them. But and some of them were going back to get their hijabs, to be covered. Hey, Jimmy, would you please check the feminist posting board? Where everybody's crying out against this indignity against women.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Jimmy, you're going to love this.
Okay.
Would you like to know what I'm preaching about on Sunday? This is a tricky one.
Okay.
Jesus Okay, that's for sure. That's the deal right there. It is going to be about Jesus, but it's going to be about women.
Okay.
Ask yourself a question. Why in Matthew 27, 55, and 56 did Matthew feel inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down that there were women looking on from a distance? Why? It's just injected there before you get to Joseph of Arimathea, the tomb, the priest, the scandal, the stone, the bribery. What is that doing there? Especially in consideration of first century Jewish culture and Roman culture too, for that matter, regarding the attitude toward women. That's a stumbling block detail. That's not what you put in there in the first century to make people perhaps consider your cause. Women? What is he doing involved with women? It was very countercultural. And so we're going to talk about that because here's how I see it. I get it. So here's this is what guides me, though, to say we're actually going to labor, I think, at least at this moment, on those two verses about women. A couple of reasons. Number one, 2 Timothy 3, is all scripture profitable or not? It doesn't just have to be about the big doctrines. It's if God put it in there, and he did, well, you know there's a purpose to it. What is it? And you interrogate your Bible. What is it doing here? And I think the question that is most helpful, which is the second point of why I'm doing this, it tells me something about Jesus. And if we didn't do that, if we didn't ask ourselves how this helps us love the Savior more, then I think you could do a fine job talking about women and dignity and role in the church, the home, society, the picture of marriage, raising children, all of those things very finely. But if they don't tell us what I think Matthew is intending to tell us about Jesus Christ, well, then it's going to be a story about women's rights or women's lib or the screed against feminism, which I don't mind screeding against. We've got to ask ourselves, what does this tell me about my Savior? That's what we'll be preaching on. Women.
Good. That'll be good.
And you know what? And if we shake hands with them or even do a side hug, that's okay. We won't be considered unclean. Unlike the Taliban's belief in Afghanistan, it took rescuers 20 hours to reach this little village in one of the really harder hit areas. When they arrived, women hid behind the broken walls of their houses after seeing the all-male rescuer team. One rescuer said, "We can't speak with the women or try to contact them because it's prohibited. Touching even a dead woman will have consequences." Ooh, girl germs. In another village, emergency workers carried away men and children, but left behind several women. Quote from one of the women, "They pushed us aside and took men for the treatment. We were left bleeding. No one offered help." That is Islam. This, in my estimation, is the correct application of Islam. I'm grateful for all the Islamic backsliders, to all of the progressives inside of the Islamic religion. But this is the Quran being applied because it's a bad book. It's a bad book for women. It's a bad book for children. It's a bad book for joy. It's just doesn't produce joy. And by the way, I think that's Jimmy, I'm going to make a prophecy right now.
Okay.
America is, you're going to notice a distinct difference if you aren't already in the interaction with strangers. When I went to Eastern Europe, it struck me like I'm telling you, like an anvil hit me in the head. It's like, why are all these people so sad looking? So sad. Why are they so quiet in restaurants? Why is nobody laughing? You don't hear any celebrate. It's just quiet. You don't say hello to somebody walking down the street. Why? Because in those Eastern European countries where the gospel was stifled by communism for so long, people were robbed of joy, the true source of joy. Going to happen in America unless the Lord moves real big time. All right, that's story number 7, Jimmy.
Actually 6, but that's okay. Who's counting?
Oh, me, apparently I'm not counting. Story number, okay, so which one do you pick?
It was between the physician-assisted suicide.
That's a bad one.
In Canada, but I'm going to go with the Archdiocese of New Orleans. That's horrible.
the Archdiocese of New Orleans with the scandal of 500 people that were molested.
It's like you said, it's systemic.
It is systemic. And it is, I think, in this instance, a valid reason to ask some questions about the doctrines of Rome. With all due respect to Candace Owen, who thinks Protestants are stupid. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.